call.
At Desold Amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good morning, folks. Good morning. Hope everyone's doing well. Coach ain't in today. He asked me to fill in and cover some things, so I hope he's blessed in his works today. The world is just upside down, just like the promo there, and I thought this verse was applicable. This piece of God's word is silver on. You want to read this and get us started? He may not be on. So basically, we're looking at the way the world's changing with technology, with the forces in our government, the forces that are outside of our government that are all pushing us to, you know, basically make a decision between the seed of man and the seed of Satan. So, you know, that's basically where we're headed. So without further ado, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin, as it were, with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed. And you'll note that they're talking about God, that they're asking God to make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. So they're actually challenging God here in these verses. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. Prove yourself. They're asking God to prove himself. And demanding God make a presence and prove himself whenever he's given us the word. Woe unto them that cast evil good and good evil. So the world's upside down here. People are saying evil's good and the things that are right are wrong and the things that are wrong are right. They put darkness for light, light for darkness, put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Again, it's all about them. It's not about what God has done. It's not about giving God the glory. It's about what they're doing. It's about how wise they are in their own eyes. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, men of strength to mingle strong strength, which justify the wicked for reward. We see a lot of that, don't we? And take away righteousness of the righteous from him. And we saw that with the Pope. He now is speaking in his own name. He's not giving God the glory, and whenever he speaks, it's in his name. He's elevated himself. Righteousness from God, and that's what's happening in the world. Therefore, as a fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Interesting, because God made a promise that he wouldn't destroy the world by water. But it's very interesting that they compared all of those naysayers and challengers and scoffers and mockers of God. He compared them to stubble, something that's going to burn up very quickly. And as you know, that's what's called for in the Bible. There's going to be flame, and flame's going to devour earth. And it's calling out these people who are going against the righteousness of God, and they're going to burn up. So with that said, I was shared a video just to get us started here. And we watched the beginnings of it. It's a professor over in Jerusalem, a Hebrew professor, and he spoke at the Davos conference. So this is fresh information. Set the tone for the future. And then we're going to go back. I'd like to cover a bit about cybersecurity and hacking in general. You're going to hear about some very interesting hacking in this dialogue. I'd like to play about 6 minutes of this, 7 minutes. And just understand, this is on the world stage. The people at this event included Bill Gates, John Kerry was there, and many of the world leaders visualizing and talking about our future on the Economic Forum. So we're going to play this, Jared. Let's just take a look.
Of our species, and really the future of life, we are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens. Within a century or two, Earth will be dominated by entities that are more different from us than we are different from Neanderthals or from chimpanzees. Because in the coming generations, we will learn how to engineer bodies and brains and minds. These will be the main products of the economy, of the 21st century economy.
So what he's saying here is kind of an incredible fact, and he opens with it. He's saying that instead of building cars and schools and buildings and goods, that our combined intellectual and innovation and creativity is going to be focused on producing human bodies and minds. So he separates minds from brains. Cranial tissue, neural networks, and then developing a mind inside that. That's what he's saying. That's where our workers are going to be focusing. Continue.
Not textiles and vehicles and weapons, but bodies and brains and minds. Now, how exactly will the future masters of the planet look like? This will be decided by the people who own the data. Those who control the data control the future, not just of humanity, but the future of life itself. Because today, data is the most important asset in the world. In ancient times, land was the most important asset. And if too much land became concentrated in too few hands, humanity split into aristocrats and commoners. Then in the modern age, in the last two centuries, machinery replaced land as the most important asset. And if too many of the machines became concentrated in too few hands, humanity split into classes, into capitalists and proletariats. Now data is replacing machinery as the most important asset. And if too much of the data becomes concentrated in too few hands, humanity will split not into classes, it will split into species, into different species. Now, why is data so important? It's important because we've reached the point when we can hack not just computers, we can hack human beings and other organisms. There is a lot of talk these days about hacking computers and email accounts and bank accounts and mobile phones, but actually we are gaining the ability to hack human beings. Now, what do you need in order to hack a human being? You need two things. You need a lot of computing power, and you need a lot of data, especially biometric data. Not data about what I buy or where I go, but data about what is happening inside my body and inside my brain. Until today, nobody had the necessary computing power and the necessary data to hack humanity. Even if the Soviet KGB or the Spanish Inquisition followed you around everywhere, 24 hours a day, watching everything you do, listening to everything you say, still, they didn't have the computing power and the biological knowledge necessary to make sense of what was happening inside your body and brain, and to understand how you feel and what you think and what you want. But this is now changing because of two simultaneous revolutions. On the one hand, advances in computer science and especially the rise of machine learning and AI, are giving us the necessary computing power. And at the same time, advances in biology, and especially in brain science, are giving us the necessary understanding, biological understanding. You can really summarize 150 years of biological research since Charles Darwin in three words. Organisms are algorithms. This is the big insight of the modern life sciences, that organisms, whether viruses or bananas or humans, they are really just biochemical algorithms. And we are learning how to decipher these algorithms. Now, when the two revolutions merge, when the infotech revolution merges with the biotech revolution, what you get is the ability to hack human beings. And maybe the most important invention for the merger of infotech and biotech is the biometric sensor that translates biochemical processes in the body and the brain into electronic signals that a computer can store and analyze. And once you have enough such biometric information and enough computing power, you can create algorithms that know me better than I know myself. And humans really don't know themselves very well. This is why algorithms have a real chance of getting to know ourselves better. We don't really know ourselves. To give an example, when I was 21, I finally realized that I was gay after living for several years in denial. And this is not exceptional. A lot of gay men live in denial for many years. They don't know something very important about themselves. Now imagine the situation in 10 or 20 years when an algorithm can tell any teenager exactly where he or she is on the gay-straight spectrum, and even how malleable this position is. The algorithm tracks your eye movements, your blood pressure, your brain activity, and tells you who you are. Now, maybe
Pause.
You personally...
So, this is disturbing on just so many levels. About our bioelectric devices that's in your bloodstream, that's chips, detect your bioelectricity, and wherever the chip is, it can read your thought and determine based on your thought what you're feeling. He goes on to talk about the way Coca-Cola can use this information, and this information that they're going to extract from our bodies based on our eye movements and the quality and resolution of the sensors that they put into our bodies to gather this data can be used. The data can be used to target ads to us. In other words, instead of showing a scantily clad female, drinking a cold Coca-Cola, you'll have a scantily clad male. And it's going to be based on the things that you watch, the things that you do, that's going to be monitored. It'll be based on when your heart rate elevates, when you look at a guy versus a girl. And it's going to make these decisions for you to control you. You heard about the Facebook experiment where they took 700,000 Facebook members and they fed them positive and negative ads and proved definitively that they could change society's behavior. They call it emotional contagion. And it's the ability for these big companies with artificial intelligence systems that can immediately give you real-time feedback based on your internet activity and the way that they're controlling us. So it's back to these sensors, and he points this out many, many times. I would encourage you to look at this a little more. He was one of the keynote speakers that was talked about most since this forum has been in place over there. Of course, President Trump's over there now. But it's some amazing interviews. One of the interviews with a Christian, there's only one Christian broadcaster at the Davis conference, and he actually asked, he interviewed and asked Dr. Harari about his version of the cloud. And Dr. Harari, in a later clip, he points up at the sky and says it's not going to be some God coming out of a cloud above us. It's the cloud of Microsoft and the cloud of Amazon and the cloud of Google. These are the clouds of tomorrow that we're going to, you know, be taking care of us. And he actually talks about that. So I'd highly encourage you to look at this. But it's back to the sensors, and he attributes the first market that's going to push through and cause all this to happen is healthcare. So the healthcare industry and their interaction with us is going to enable us to have the appropriate technologies in our bodies to push through into this next generation. So all of these technologies that need to connect to give the higher New World Order this information, this data, is all called, it's all under this area called the Internet of Things. It's the billions and billions of connected devices that are coming online to gather their data so that they can better market to us, they can better control us, and so forth. That said, if you think about all the bioelectric devices that are in healthcare, I've mentioned many, and these are some thoughts that maybe Sarah could contribute to as well as others, but you have devices that can flow through your bloodstream with cancer detection cells. They can make their way to your colon. They can then hordes of nanobots with laser beams, and these can flow around your bloodstream with cancer detection capability and actually zap cancer cells and break down the membrane so they're discharged of in your body, and they've had huge success with this. There's nanogenerators, there's heat suits, there's numbers of wearables and tattoos. It's just an endless amount of connectivity. Plus you have cell phones, you have all the things we carry around with us. And right now, all of these devices are overloading the data systems that we have. So with that said, there's a certain addiction that comes along with this. So Jared, the very last video clip, if you could play that one.
Hey, Mark.
Hey.
Yes, Mark, sir. Yeah, go to 130.
Yeah. Hey, Mark.
Yes.
Just a general question here.
Yes.
If I get the gist of what that Hebrew guy was saying, that queer, is that in the future, they're going to be able to replace human beings with created biological machines.
That's correct. Now,
question, where is the energy for keeping that machine operating going to come? Are they still going to need to eat food to produce energy within the body and stuff? Are they going to figure out a different way so that they won't have to produce food anymore? There won't be any hunger in the world because there won't be anybody to eat any food.
That's an interesting question. Right now, there's many of these robots that are connected to AI, and very few of them have their own self-contained power supplies. A lot of the military equipment that is connected to AI systems, they have self-contained batteries and power. So robots don't need to eat. They don't. It's a mechanical device, but there's going to be a social aspect. A fully functional robot without any human tissue. And then you have the combination of a human with biomechanical, bioelectric, bioneural connections. So these cyborgs, of course, will need to have organic food to sustain. Now, how do these things get charged? Right now, 4G is different than 5G in that it consumes much more battery than 5G may or may not require. What they're planning is 5G to actually provide enough power to charge batteries on the remote devices that have very little power.
Hey, Mark. So,
yes.
Sorry to interrupt you there. Can I explain something about that when it comes to 5G?
Sure.
It's like a radio signal that's pulsed out that connects to our biorhythm, and it actually adds energy to us in a way that we don't understand or even are aware of. Think of it like when you're listening to your radio and you're in your room alone and you're feeling the vibration from the sound, and you actually kind of get tuned to the song, you start moving to the beat, almost like you're in a trance. Radio frequencies from 5G are pulsed out, and you sympathize with those, even though you're not hearing them, you're almost like you're in a trance moving along with it. Is that correct?
You're exactly right. And the ability to load a, well, you have the carrier, which is the frequency, and then you have the data on the frequency that carries it. It's modulated together. So they have found different frequencies that your body can extract the intelligence off of the carrier signal. The carrier signal is made to transport the data a long range, and then the data is what's left behind.
Hey, Mark.
There are many reactions that your body has with RF that have been proven, you know, as far as behavior modification, as far as cellular breakdown and, you know, weaponization of these signals and so forth. So there's many uses for the upcoming technologies that are coming.
Hey, Mark.
My question? Yes.
I put in a chat. I got this from True News on December 22nd. Your cell phone right now runs between 1 and 4 gigahertz. That's 4G now, new technology. With 5G, is going to be running 24 to 90 gigahertz. And they're saying that's 90 billion electronic magnetic pulses hitting your body per second.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk a little more about that. Let's watch this clip. This is done by another guy who's been working on 5G and the impact of cell phone usage. But I found this very interesting from a very interesting actor. But go ahead and play just a bit of this, just to gather our social status that we currently are under. And then we're going to cell phones and learn some information about the radiation levels that are listed right on our own cell phones. So go ahead and play that, Jared.
Turn it off. That's what I would say. It's hard for young people now because they're hooked. They're addicted. If you don't think you're addicted, and I'm talking about anyone from the highest to the lowest, if you don't think you're addicted, then see if you can turn it off for a week. Got quiet in here, didn't it get real quiet? It's a tool, so we should use it. God has blessed us with free will. Now it's free will magnified, free will on steroids. You're free to go in any direction you want. It will allow you, and it's not the enemy. It's just a reflection of our own free will. Oh, and we all want to be liked, but now we want to be liked by 16 million. And will now some of us do anything to be liked? We used to do anything to be liked, but it was by the person in front of you. Now it's to be liked by 16 million people that you don't know. We have to ask ourselves, what is the long term, if not the short term effect of too much information?
Okay, go ahead and pause that. And, there's other clips for Bill Gates, all of these leaders of industry, they do not allow. Steve Jobs does not allow his children to use iPads for radio emissions. Bill Gates does not allow his children to use cell phones for radio emissions. I mean, this is real. Now, with that said, I'd like everyone to take out your cell phones. I have a Droid. And go to settings. And let's see what our legal terms and our safe levels of usage say. To about on my phone, iPhone's a legal button. I'm going to hit legal information. And I see a Samsung legal button, health and safety, and English. And it says if you just scroll through this, you can read your own health and safety conditions, your own RF emission hazards, And it actually gives you instructions on what to do right here on your phone. Risk of brain cancer from exposure to radio frequencies. This is on the legal terms on our own phones, guys. Surveillance, epidemiology, cell phone industry actions, exposure hands-free kits. And it suggests reduce the amount of time spent using your cell phone. Use speaker mode or a headset to place more distance between your head and the cell phone. It's written right on our phones. Where do these phones go? In our pockets, right? So if this is true, saying about, we'll talk more about 5G and cellular breakdown and things like that. We keep these in our pockets. New World Order's goals are to reduce our population. What better place to put an RF device right beside our genitals, right beside our ovaries, right? This is a long-term thing coming.
Hey, Mark.
I have a chart that can talk about, I'd like you just put it on that chart, Jared, and I'm going to read some information here. But it's a chart about 5G, and you can kind of glance at this. I'm just going to go through some things. So in the 90s, the first generation came out. 1G carried voice only. Sometimes you'll see 1X RTT, for instance. When text between two cellular devices became possible, 2G was born. Then 3G came with the ability to make calls and surf the web from a wireless device deemed smart. So 3G was the first smart generation for smartphones. It was smarter. 4G network allowed us to make calls, send text, browse the internet, and upload and download video files. And then that turned into long-term evolution, LTE, and on into 5G. Yes.
I have a question. I don't know when to pop in here. I don't want to get you moving in the wrong direction.
Like a cup.
I've got a question. Really two questions, if I can ask the first one. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Let's assume I worship at a good church. I meet Larry's standards of being a church. Okay, I say
mm-hmm.
that.
Okay.
Let's say it's a Bible believing church. We've got a good pastor, nice man, good guy, knows his Bible, all so forth. What? And we're in a traditional situation. We kind of got a building, got a little youth group. We do mission trips. What does all of this AI do to the traditional facility, heavy with mortgage church environment? I don't hear any pastor that I'm aware of at anything I'm listening to talking about anything remotely tied to this conversation this morning.
Correct.
At all. I don't hear them talking about how the church is going to be taken over. I don't hear them warning about a God of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear anything. Now, let's assume you and some of these men and us lay people trying to understand this stuff, we're correct in what we're looking to the future. What does the church look like? With all of this data and all of this technology, mm-hmm. does anybody get in a car anymore and go to church?
Well, it's an interesting question. I think there's still going to be a brick and mortar church. And Jared, you can do a quick search for Way of the Future. Way of the Future Church. And this is the first church that you're talking about. This is the first church where we're going to be losing, or the traditional churches are going to be losing parishioners to an AI-based church. And there's a pastor in California with a church like this, and they're supposed to be being ready, being the elders. It states it right in this, the first click. I mean, they want to be the elders of the church that is worshiping the machines as that are coming out of this. So it's a good question, Roger, and almost like a connection, right? You're connecting to your church, and that's that's what AI is going to want to do. If you listen to the video by Dr. Harari, he talked about us being connected, about these systems knowing what our eyes are looking at. Whenever our eyes look at something, they'll look at our heart rate in a data store and determine what it is that makes our heart skip a beat. And this is the AI church. And then they'll feed us much easier, much more easily. They'll feed us the things in line and control us and keep us content, keep us from rebelling, keep us from having a Christian nature, a questioning nature about these things. So I believe it's going to be an interactive church where we don't know how much interactivity is going on.
Play off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Within the Christian church, there is a certain amount of peace, let's work things out to the world. In the Islam religion, how in the world does Islam stand back and allow AI to start controlling their religion? I don't see that.
Well, there's a lot of thoughts there. That's a good point. And I think I'm starting to believe one of these areas that's being presented. And that is, what is the future of religion? Which religion is going to be the top dog whenever Satan and the Antichrist come on scene? And there's a lot of theories that state atheism is going to snuff out Christianity. It's going to snuff out Islam. It's going to snuff out Roman Catholicism. Atheism. All the other religions segregate people from the future, the way forward. And the only way to have true obedience is to have everyone regularity, everyone in a unified way of thinking, and that's without an intelligent God. The other areas that Harari talked about during this World Forum on stage is intelligent design. And he actually used the term intelligent design for us creating intelligent beings, for us modifying the human genome, making new species, for us making a better race more resilient to the problems of the world today. So I think that future religion, that future church, it's going to be based on nothing spiritual. It'll be spiritual in the AI sense, in that you're worshiping a machine, but it won't be a paranormal type of worship that we're aware of or that people are aware of. It's going to be, and all of these machines fed by AI are fed through quantum computing and interdimensional processing and information from the spiritual realm.
Hey, Mark.
So the underlying infrastructure and backbone to the energy being put into artificial intelligence is actually is coming from another dimension.
Hey, Mark.
Yes, sir.
I have a 3G phone, and it's too fancy for me. Is there any way to go out and retrograde and find a 2G phone somewhere? And another question is, how long is this 3G phone going to still work, or is it things going to get so advanced that the system
so
is set for you, Larry?
Yeah, I'm going to take you on kind of a long answer, but this is part of what I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about frequency. So when I grew up, I lived on a farm back in the mountains. We didn't have a bathroom. I had an outdoor john across the creek you had to run to, and then that's just the way I grew up. But we still had fence posts that had a wire running across the top of the fence post. Just a single copper wire, exposed copper wire around little white insulators. It was the communication back then. It was the only communication that existed. It was a 5-volt line connected to Martha down at the phone company. During that time, these people heard about this ability to hear a box talking. Came out. Back then, that was just some mystery thing, and everyone couldn't afford them. And then radio was born, AM. frequency modulation type of signal, and soon after that came FM, and then people started hearing about these pictures that they could broadcast through the air magically, and you would have a picture in your home. Born. So I was out in Denver, and I was talking to one of the companies, one of the founders of a company that laid all the fiber in Denver, one of the largest database areas in the U.S. in Denver, one of our core infrastructure areas, and he laid all the fiber in Denver. What a huge undertaking. So, but just another frequency. Fiber is just another frequency, light sound. The original 5-volt wires, they caused a little diaphragm to vibrate and make sound. It's just a frequency. So where we are now is we're increasing these frequencies, and we're using frequencies like the microwave, you know, that we've been using all along, but we're loading more and more transmitters up with more and more of these frequencies. And what they're saying is all of these frequencies are saturated. So the challenge that he had, back to your question, is he maintains Verizon's networks. Now, what does that mean? That's infrastructure. That's towers. That's antennas. So if you ever have the little 1X sign come up on your phone, you're operating at a much lower frequency using differing antennas on these cell towers all around the world. Had to happen is they've had to maintain legacy infrastructure since the 70s and 80s, 90s, whenever they first put in the 1X lines. And when 2G came out, they had to put more antennas on those posts while maintaining the 1X antennas. Then came 3G, then 4G, and LTE. So all of these companies have to go out while maintaining legacy infrastructure, add to these towers the new technologies for the new frequencies. The question is how long are the new frequencies, the old frequencies, going to be backward compatible? And that's really a good question, because if they just totally disabled 1X, 2G, 3G, there's many systems that are running our infrastructure that rely on these discrete forms of communication. So they've not been able to get rid of even 5-volt lines in Canada, because many of the battery sheds, which are backup power for the power grids, use 5-volt phone lines, PSTN, to carry emergency and backup data whenever they have an outage. Until they have reliable communications, at least two, you know, for our infrastructure, they're not going to discontinue a lot of the old technologies. So the antennas that they're putting on these towers are really the key. And 5G has some very interesting antennas and processes that they go through to create energy. So back to 5G, and there's a lot of information on this about how it breaks down your cellular membranes, about higher frequency. It's called millimeter waves. And whenever your cellular structure is subjected to millimeter waves, it actually causes the vibration of your actual cells and the membranes to actually break down. So there's been proven exposure characteristics. It can penetrate a certain amount of skin. It can also penetrate the cornea of your eye and cause long-lasting damage. So there's studies that are out there showing the damage of 5G. And then you have the surreptitious use, the innovations that they're piling on 5G. I've seen some of them come up in the chat related to and things like that. There's specific frequencies that they have tested, subject to control under these things. There's something called the Voice of God weapon that was supposedly used in Afghanistan. There's all kinds of patents for acoustic behavior control devices. Now, 5G, as it ties into Internet of Things, they're hand in hand. And that's because we can't gather the data the government, the elite, the large companies like Google, Facebook, and so forth, they can't gather the data globally wherever we go. They don't have that ability yet. And that's what 5G is about. It's about maintaining a connection with you. They're going to have multiple ways to gather that data from you as you're moving about. You got your things you carry. You got the things you wear that are going to have embedded devices. Your shoes are going to have embedded devices. You're not going to be able to buy anything that won't connect to 5G. Everything you buy will more or less be connected to 5G. So therefore, you'll have to clean yourself out and not be on the grid. But even when you do that, your makeup can be detected by these 5G antennas. So we each have signatures. Our cellular makeup is bioelectrical, and that too can be detected. So it's truly about the technologies that sense where we are and who we are and what we're thinking. It's truly about the quality of these sensors that they're building. That's the key right now. Now, whenever you bridge that over to artificial intelligence and consciousness and understanding behavior, the one key missing there is consciousness for these AI systems. To be directed on what data to look at, they have to be given the data. At some point, though, when consciousness is created in these artificial intelligence systems.
Hey, Mark?
We won't have control.
Yeah, when you're talking about how they're connecting to people, I wonder, and we've talked about this in the queue before, something mm-hmm. called the Mu chip, which is tiny. It's actually more like a particle than it is an actual chip. Mm-hmm. Do you think maybe they could be using that to couple to people as a sensor within us because it's so small? I mean, we don't know if it's coming out of chemtrails or what, but it's just a possibility.
A thought that came right. Yeah, a lot of people are saying, well, I just won't get chipped. Well, I don't think we have a choice in that. There's so many things that we consume, that we carry. We're chipped just because we have a phone, so it doesn't really matter because they can track us the same way with their phone. So I don't think we're going to be able to avoid it. So there are precautionary measures. There are things that we can do. A friend of mine found a chip inside a friend of his. The friend of his did not ask for the chip to be in him, but he was he basically showed up on a scan that he had a radio emission, and my friend basically had a scanner and found a chip in his shoulder. Tried a stun gun. So he took a stun gun and shocked the guy until the chip stopped emitting RF. So with that said, that is kind of the mindset that we all need to be in. Want to take it that far. But what's the point of zapping yourself and killing a chip like my mother has a chip in her knee from a knee surgery? What if she zapped it? Well, she's still got a phone. So again, the enemy is going to use every piece of technology around us. Around your home, a lot of us have a lot more of this technology than others, right? And a lot of us have none, so we think. So it's an awareness thing, and then you got the whole idea of it all's hackable. So if you got to behavior control capability where artificial intelligence can feed you and change things and make you do things based on advertising, based on subliminal messaging in your head, based on the voices that you hear or whatever techniques they use, how do you overcome that? Well, the first stage is believing that it can happen. By believing it can happen, for the ways to avoid it, right? But that's the first step.
Hey, Mark?
Yes, sir.
Yes. when you're saying that, part of that is that same mm-hmm. frog mentality. You put it in the water, you slowly bring up the boil. Mm-hmm. Talking about the RF chip, you know, mm-hmm. a long time ago, you used to be able to a woman would go into a hospital, she would have her baby, they would go home. Now you go to the hospital, you are not allowed by law. They will lock down that hospital to take that baby out without a Social Security number on file. I believe that the eventuality will be that, you know, because of what the setup, oh, we use it for tracking pets and, you know, how we can protect mm-hmm. your children. It'll be mandated that every baby born in a hospital, the implantation of the chip. We think that's far-fetched, but we thought that was far-fetched with filing for a Social Security card. That will come to where every baby born will have an RF chip placed in it before it can go home.
And that is absolutely feasible. I mean, there's nothing that would dispute that the way things are going. Dale, you're exactly right.
Hey, Mark?
Yes, sir.
There is another way of beating it. If you were to couple to the radio frequency that was coming out with the same radio frequency and turn up the amplification, it creates mm-hmm. a feedback and the ability for them to give a radio frequency altogether.
Right. And there's a lot of techniques that currently are used right now with Wi-Fi to prevent that. They call it channel hopping. You know, just they switch channels. They switch to random channels or frequencies.
Right.
So they've currently, for 5G, they're looking at several frequency bands. Okay. You're right. They're all the higher frequency bands, but they're looking at 1.5 to 100 gigahertz as a whole. That's where the FCC has regulation to allow open communication. Now, there's a few of these that are military, a few of these bands that are military bands. The high band frequencies could be between 27, 28, up to 40 gigahertz, or even as high as 90, as you stated. So by having several bands, they'll have the ability to automatically switch and find a new receiver, a new transceiver. So it's if I were designing this system, I would have many, many ways to circumvent anyone trying to overcome it. And I'm just I mean, I know quite a bit about technology, but I mean, it's just like hacking. Just like hacking. Now, they're hacking the human body. And if you recall, not long ago, I did a presentation, and I provided a sheet that showed all the brain's cognitive processes that they've mapped based on the way that our brains actually handle. They actually gathered that data through injecting nanobots into us, and they monitored brain activity while subjecting us to decision making. And then they tracked all the different areas of our brain that fired, and they learned the cognitive algorithm, so to speak, as that gentleman talked about. They learned this about our brain. So they've taken that brain structure algorithms out of it, and that's how they're doing it. But the reality is hacking riddle. Now, just a little bit about cybersecurity. Y'all know I deal with that a lot, and one of the areas I wanted to talk about very briefly was the current state of things. And the fact is whenever there's a vulnerability to any of your systems, any of your phones, any of your computers, future, whenever our brain has a vulnerability, hackers will hack it. It'll be a fun game just like it is nowadays, except they'll have different media to attack. Now, there's going to be protection, right? So there's going to be viruses. There's going to be virus, antivirus for 5G that prevents our brains from being hacked when these times come. If you got devices in your body, there will have to be those devices so that a new vulnerability can be patched. That's happened of late with a lot of the healthcare devices. And whenever there's a vulnerability, this is what I want you guys to realize. Publishes it. And they say, here's your vulnerability. If you got this system, it's broken. Somebody can hack it. You got to update it. Well, who gets the vulnerability list? Everyone. Everyone out in the public, not just the defenders. They don't restrict, Microsoft don't restrict that information to prevent terrorists from getting it. So as we move into this new age, there's no regulation. The FCC is trying to get all of this out there before any regulation can occur. That means these vulnerabilities aren't going to be disclosed because they're not required to be disclosed. Instead, when vulnerabilities come out, hackers get the vulnerabilities, and right in the Microsoft update, it tells you what the vulnerability does, how they're using it, and how they're fixing it. So it actually tells you what the patch does to the virus. So every time that vulnerabilities are published, period of time, a window to get systems patched. That's whenever hackers are using that guideline that Microsoft published to hack all of our systems. They don't even need to look for vulnerabilities. We'll put them out.
How does this hold up if it's an EMP or of two or three EMP drops?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
how does that work with the system?
It's a good question. A lot of people are buying these EMP defense devices, and it's all about the area that the EMP was in. In other words, the amplitude of the EMP determines how much damage. If you're near the EMP blast, if you're near a nuclear blast, all your electronics are fried. But if you're 50 miles away, you're going to get an electromagnetic pulse, and it's going to shut down any exposed electronics. And if you're away, you'll probably not have anything. So as you have EMP detection and blocking devices, as you get closer to the blast, of course it's going to become less effective because it'll just melt right through metal. So how is an EMP device going to help if all the runs on the circuit boards are melted? So really, EMPs are one way to shut down these electronics. However, if I were designing it, I would put devices on the motherboards of these chips called like maybe a resettable fuse. And it's going to have a shunt. If it exceeds a certain voltage threshold, it'll shunt that to ground, and then it'll reset and return the system to functional. Now, I've used those technologies in high security devices before. The thing is resettable fuses can sometimes last 1,000 times. So they're rated by the number of events before they break down and stop working and create an open so that the data don't get through. So there's ways to defeat everything. There is no silver bullet, but if you had a personal EMP, you could actually clean yourself. And then if you had an RF emissions reader, you could read yourself before you go out into public and at least do that much. Now, these things aren't public, and you know, you don't just go buy an EMP. You just can't go do that. So there's a lot of people now who are coming up with ways to do exactly what you're saying, and that is to clean yourself. Technologies that you may be breathing in. I mean, there's indications that they're putting nanobots in the jet stream. You know, so with that said, there's. It's just an endless amount of information. You got to just use your power of discernment to work through it. So, any other input?
Yes. Through all of this, mm-hmm. as technology will be increasing in knowledge,
mm-hmm.
back to scripture, and he causes all, the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free men and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or their foreheads.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I assume in foreheads, if you don't have a right hand, of course, if you don't have a forehead, you ain't much nothing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we have to watch for that. I haven't seen mm-hmm. anything that actually labels that designation to your right, a device for your hand or your forehead.
Well, whenever the Wisconsin company was chipped by Three Square Marketing.
I remember that.
The 2017. they chipped them on their left hands. Okay. So they did put it in between the thumb and forefinger. There's tons of pictures out there, and I've talked to the CEO. I talked to him specifically about securing those devices. I let him know that I'm going to be in companies that may have these chips.
Mm-hmm.
How do we defend? Do you have measures to detect communication? And I'm going to need to know, how do you secure these things? So he was very open to tell me that, Mark, he said, right now none of these chips have any security. They have no security. And these are conducting financial transactions. They're letting people in buildings. They're your identity to log on to your computer and many other reasons. His largest market is the federal prison system and the prison systems all around the U.S. and the world. That's where they put these chips to control inmates, to reduce cash in prisons and things like that. There's no security. And he said, Mark, right now, those chips are vanilla. And this is the CEO of Three Square Marketing, mm-hmm. who put the chips in Wisconsin, people. And he says, but even though they're just vanilla now, we're making a Baskin-Robbins. He sent me some detail. It was a public-facing detail. I asked for user agreements. I asked for upgrade capabilities and things like that. He was reluctant to send me more information.
I have a question, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned that they're going to be using it in prisons. Do you mean to say that prisoners are going to be chipped within the prisons for control?
Yes, systems? They have been for years, and it's the largest industry you don't have a choice, so it's mandatory. So when you go to prison in the U.S., you lose your rights over your body, and they just chip you. You don't have a choice. So they use that chip to track where you are on the, you know, in the prison, and they use it for your currency. They use it for all that so they can get rid of contraband out of the prisons. Yeah, but that's his largest market, and tons of military applications. If you were at the conference in Boise, Idaho, you saw Russ Dizdar pull on the board that he actually had a case where a gentleman, he was called in by police department, and he had a demon possession case, he thought. So sure enough, he evacuated a demon, and the guy went in to get treated for drug and this and that. And the other thing, they didn't find any drugs in his system, and they found a chip. And at the conference in Boise last August, Russ Dizdar had pictures of that chip, of the chip from Three Square Marketing, and they were two different chips. One was a military grade, and one was not. Typically, the difference is one's going to have some sort of extra power, extra memory, extra capability, so it's bigger. Inch long, 3/4 of an inch long to an inch long. They go in your hands. People's found them. I mean, his shoulder, and they were able to kill it. And I don't know if he took it out, but And hey, Mark, more often than not, people don't know that they got the chip when they find them. That's concerning as well.
And how do you find out if you have it? Is that, like you said, an RFD reader?
Yeah, you can get a wide spectrum detector. And that's smart, just to detect radiation from the sun. You can begin to see changes in your local area. As excessive emissions, you can actually go outside and see the change and start tracking it on your own.
Hey, Mark. Back to the 5G.
Mm-hmm.
I also heard that the radiation penetrates 2 inches into the skull if you use the phone by your head.
Mm-hmm.
A child, it's up to 3 inches if they put it up to their head. And the reason why I mentioned that is because a friend of mine, his father, my friend died of cancer just recently. His father has brain cancer. My brother-in-law has brain cancer. And my niece just had a tumor removed from her brain the size of a baseball bat. And they're saying it's because of the cell phone. And people just need to be aware. I mean, this is just regular cell phone.
That's right. Difference in the antennas that could create a concern with what he's saying is the antennas used for 5G are actually super, super small because they're millimeter waves. They're very small waves. So they don't need long antennas matched to the frequency length because they're very small. Now, antenna arrays have hundreds, if not thousands, of these antennas. So they use what's called similar to what's called electronic scanning to change the polarity of the face of the array to direct the beam. So one of the concerns about 5G is they can weaponize the antennas, this the beam. So not only do you have just one antenna like a cell phone near your ear, you'll have thousands of antennas into a pinpoint beam if they needed to. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's all electronic. They don't have to move and deflect. It's electronic, so they can set up a polarity positive and negative and shift the beam that way. Scanning, and that's what our military uses in the jet fighters.
One quick question. Is it true that if you plug your phone in
yep.
to your computer, does that stop the waves from coming towards your phone?
Well, let's close out. Thank you all very much. And stay tuned. Be aware of these signals and frequencies. Ask questions. Handheld use of your phones. And take care of yourselves, guys. We love you.